Blog Talk Radio.
From the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his host, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you stars of light, praise him you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. I love you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, mind, and strength. You are the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other God besides you. I glory in your holy name, and my heart rejoices in you. I will seek your face evermore. I bless you, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. While I live, I will praise you. I will sing praises to you while I have my being. The high praises of God will be in my mouth and a two-headed sword in my hand. Praise ye the Lord. Loving Father, I surrender to you tonight with all my heart and soul. Please come into my heart in a deeper way. Lord, I say yes. I say yes to you tonight. I open all the secret places of my heart to you and say, come in. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of my whole life and the Lord of this ministry. I believe in you and receive you as my Lord and Savior. I hold nothing back. Holy Spirit, bring me to a deeper conversion to the person of Jesus Christ. I surrender all to you, my health, my family, my resources, my occupation, House of Christ Ministries, my skills, my relationships, time management, my successes and my failures. I release it and let it go. I surrender my understanding of how things ought to be, my choices and my will. I surrender to you the promises I have failed to keep. I surrender my weakness and strength to you. I surrender my emotions, my fears, my insecurities. Lord, I surrender my entire life to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. welcome to another episode of the House of Christ Ministries Present, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com, our online bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com, our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org, our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministry, House of David Ministries and the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc. at www.reverseofrevival.com. You can visit us also at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. now supports Food for the Poor. We need your financial support to raise funds to assist their efforts. Food for the Poor is helping the poorest of poor in 17 Latin American and Caribbean countries, including Jamaica. There are no easy fix when it comes to poverty. Your donation will help to alleviate some of the pressing issues facing the poor. I pray that you will find it in your hearts to give. You can visit us once again at www.foodforthepoor.org/Christ Ministries. All donations will be appreciated. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code, Section 501(c)(3). If you prefer to mail a check, please make it payable to Food for the Poor, Inc., and it should be mailed to 6401 Lyons Road, Coconut Creek, Florida, 33073. Please write on the check's memo line SC80192 to ensure proper tracking. God bless you as you find it in your hearts to give. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is a member of the Tony Owens Ministries, Inc. We are an apostolic ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums. From our radio broadcast every Sunday and Wednesdays, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, which starts at 8:30 p.m. Our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers how to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are important components to bringing the gospel to a lost and hurting world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request, or share a testimony, or make a donation or love offering, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. All donations are tax deductible under Internal Revenue Code Section 501(c)(3). Dr. Oswald J. Smith once said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical rights to exist. as we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My fellow Christians, my fellow believers and non-believers, the Lord loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love and has promised to give us a future and hope. With loving kindness, He has drawn us unto Himself. We look carefully and intensely at the manner of love the Father has poured out upon us. It is through this love that He has called us to be His dear children. We are completely and fully accepted in Him, our God and Savior. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not tribulations or distress, not persecution, famine, or nakedness, not peril, swords, angels, principalities, powers, death nor life, neither things present nor things to come. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us crown Him. House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is an apostolic work with a vision to see the will of the Father being accomplished through the fivefold ministry offices. Through the function of these ministerial offices, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, the Lord has given gifts for the perfecting and equipping of the saints, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. We are commissioned by the Lord to bring revival, restoration, and healing to the broken, and establish to release a spirit of restoration and renewal to those that are hurting. Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. House of Christ Ministries exists for the purpose of bringing healing throughout the land, the development, empowering, and activation of laborers within a local community, the body of Christ. Our belief is an active labor force which will go out and actively witness the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. The sinner now becoming a saint, grafted into the kingdom of God, and continually developed through sound biblical teaching and active service in the area where God has called them to be. Our purpose, mission, and goal is that the Lord's kingdom on earth would continually be advanced and expanded for His glory. Jesus Christ declared that He came to seek and save them that are lost. Therefore, our purpose is for the saint. Be empowered by the Word to begin to reproduce the Word they have received by evangelizing the world for Jesus Christ and restoring the true purpose of the church. Our vision is for the saints of the living God being charged, activated, and equipped by the Lord to demonstrate the power of the Word of God. And as the power of God is demonstrated through evangelism, healing, and deliverance, revival will spread throughout this nation and the world and reap a harvest of souls into the Lord's kingdom for His glory. Praise be to God. continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's Book of Acts. I encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our lesson for tonight, are there many ways or one way to God? God's love for mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Are there many ways or only one way to God? What Christians believe? Public opinion. Society is of the opinion that there is always more than one way to get things done. If you don't like where you live, you can move to another area, buying another car. If you don't like one car dealership, then you go to another. You negotiate a better deal with another car dealer. Don't like the decisions your politicians are making? Then you vote for a different candidate at the next election. If you're afraid to fly, then you can choose to go by train, car, or even ship. Your choice will get you there. There is always more than one way, or is there. If you don't like the God of the Bible, you can choose another God. In this world of choices, there's a growing consensus, even amongst Christians, that there is more than one way to God. In fact, among talk show hosts, New Age gurus, seekers of spirituality, and the current popular culture, the opinion is there are many ways to God. They say if God really exists, he wouldn't be so mean and narrow-minded to turn away all those in religions where other names are mentioned as God. That's the little G-O-D. Some even say these other names are different because diverse culture would understandably have different names for the same God. If he is reasonable, he couldn't possibly send all those people to hell just because they don't worship him in the name of Jesus. Or could he? Is the living God narrow-minded? That's a question we need to ask. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Amplified Version. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. Yes, he is narrow-minded, as a good father would do to his child. Father God lays out a course of action before us. This information guides us so we know which choices lead to success and life or down the road end in destruction and death. he would not be a good father if he did not point out very clearly the way to our eternal home. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, and I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the lightning of thy days. All those who are ignorant of or reject the knowledge of God gives are at great risk. Their lives are at great risk. Unbelievers are at risk for blindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, the Amplified Version. But even if our gospel, the glad tidings, also be hidden, obscured, and covered up with a veil that hinders the knowledge of God, it is hidden only to those who are perishing, and obscured only to those who are spiritually dying, and veiled only to those who are lost. For the God of this world has blinded the unbeliever's mind, that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, truth, preventing them, glory to God, who is the image and likeness of God. This world means the system of government that went into effect after the disobedience and the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Under this system, mankind give their strength and substance to the wicked spirit being called Satan. It is he who rules behind the scenes of this society, setting up conditions to influence and control the minds of mankind. He does this through pleasure, pride, and the acquisition of wealth. Many people decide to follow their own will and not God's way by pursuing these goals. It means their minds have been additionally blinded to biblical truth. Satan then offers the willful individualist a variety of ways that further draws them away from the truth. Satan offers us many ways. The devil has highlighted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Genesis chapter 3 as a basis for personal choice and expression. He suggests to our minds all the other choices we can make to achieve personal happiness and, yes, even spirituality. Though he became the god of this world, society, and its mindset, when Adam fell into disobedience, he is not Almighty God. He is a created being with limits. He is non-self-existent, all-powerful, or all-knowing. Nor can he be everywhere at the same time. Identity theft. How many people do you allow to use your credit card? How many different individuals do you allow to sign your checks? And personal information about you, such as your social security number, being used by con artists and strangers? Identity theft is committed when a person steals another's identity at that person's works under that assumed name. They can deceive others by giving them or treating them with all the rights and privileges of the original individual. The devil is the master of identity theft, and he uses us to accomplish his deception. He offers alternate belief systems by conning us into thinking we are exercising our own independent right to choose what we want to believe in. He deceives the gullible, the rebellious, the proud, and the good intention into thinking they are serving God. His counterfeit beliefs are presented as reasonable options. And when we accept them as such, he uses us to promote these beliefs to others. These counterfeits of many names, humanism, yoga and meditation, Eastern religions, New Age, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, African cultural traditions, natural healing and spirituality, native customs and traditions of various world indigenous groups, Mormonism, and many. People are fond of these names, maybe because they were brought up in them, or have cultural, traditional, or tolerant world views. These followers are convinced they believe in any one of the various ways to God, as long as they don't call on the name of Jesus. It suits the devil's purpose. His purpose is further served when one does not trust in Christ exclusively, but instead as a mixture of both Christianity and other beliefs. I will be like the Most High. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. How art thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 says, And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. As it is recorded in biblical account, Satan did not succeed in heaven when he tried to elevate himself above God. Instead of ruling, he lost his place for trying to give the heavens another God in the Almighty's place. He was an idol in his own mind and failed in taking personal dominion over the heavens by bringing the kingdom to its knees and overthrowing God. Could Satan as Lucifer really have overthrown God? That could never happen. No, it could never happen. God is never taken by surprise. He knew what was in Lucifer's heart all the time. He patiently allowed him to expose himself and any other celestial being that could be so influenced. This would allow him to purge heaven from lawlessness and idolatry. Just like humans on earth now, even the angels in heaven had to be tested and proved worthy. However, what Satan could not accomplish in heaven, He is presently attempting to accomplish that on earth. He uses the psychology of rebellion to turn the human mind against the way of the Lord. His goal is to make people offended at the God of the Bible because they are condemned if they have different beliefs or serve other gods. Feeling this way, they will hate God and not repent and turn to Him. Let us take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The error of finding our own so-called personal truth is thinking we have the right to define truth according to our own personal agendas and lifestyle. The truth was defined before mankind was created. And when truth took on the likeness of humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, He left the Holy Ghost, also called the Spirit of Truth, to bear witness and to remind us of the words He spoke. The Gospel of John, verse 14, 16, 17, and 26. The truth is not a lump of clay or an uninformed idea in a person's mind waiting to take shape. Rather, God's truth shapes and forms us into His children. Truth is a person. It is the word and will of God expressed through the divine person of Jesus Christ. Don't mistake all facts for truth. While facts are important and have merit and value, many can change and be affected by human intervention. Divine truth does not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Thy word is true. The Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17b clause. Divine truth cannot be sold or bribed to benefit any one person or group, nor individual or collective missions of personal freedom and independent expression. Truth causes or mandates that God's creation looks like and reflect Him. When a person does not look like their Creator, reflecting His character within themselves, they are living by the will of their own rebellious nature and not by the truths of God's nature. Do not be fooled by all the religions and belief systems that claim to believe in God. You can know if a person believes in the God of the Bible if they magnify Jesus Christ, and if the nature or character of God is evident in their lives. Take a look at Psalm 138, verse 2, and 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Beloved, we should respect each other's diversity. Embracing the beliefs of others can lead to world peace. No. It will lead to a satanic dictatorship. The reason wars are fought is for power. Nobody wants power more than the devil. Because his influence is on mankind, wars will be fought because people and government under his influence want power and control over others. Because power is Satan's ultimate goal, he wants the role of the most powerful being. By redirecting man's worship of God to his array of world's religion, he can control the loyalties of people through these counterfeit belief systems. People think that peace comes from negotiating terms everyone can agree with. So naturally, they think peace will come when everyone can believe in what they want and nobody gets angry about it. But this is a false hope. First, peace comes from the Prince of Peace. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 27. Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. Secondly, what is not widely known is that all the fallen angels, wicked principalities, according to Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 12, who are behind Satan world's religion, are going to relinquish their influence back to Satan. He will then rule as the Antichrist, the false God and Messiah on earth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8. It is a trap. Many choices Satan offers make society think that they have religious options. But in reality, all religious beliefs that do not rest in exclusively of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior simply leads to Satan. So there really is only one way to God. However, we have two choices, up or down, Jesus Christ or Satan, heaven or hell. The preeminent Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through 19 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ, the crown prince of the heavenly realm, created all things. Even the angels of all ranks were created as servants of the kingdom of glory. Though a third of their number rebelled with Lucifer and was cast out of that pure place, they are created beings and have no power to be self-created or self-sustained. And while they are the spirits behind world religions and want to be worshipped as gods, they have no power of their own to maintain their existence. God is the source. All things were made by Jesus Christ for him. He is before all things, and it is by his power that the things he created are yet held together and have cohesive structure and existence. He was before every created being an object. Nothing is older than him. Daniel chapter 7 verse 9. And nothing is newer. Isaiah chapter 42 verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Revelation chapter 21 verse 5. Some would like to argue that Christianity actually started after other religions were firmly established, in an attempt to claim that some religions are more authentically true to compare it to. However, in Revelation 13 verse 8, it tells us about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that in the beginning, when Adam and Eve, the first people, had sinned, he took a lamb and sacrificed it as a symbol of the sacrifice of his son, the Lamb of God. God clothed them with the skin from that sacrifice. I encourage you to read Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, indicating from the beginning by this act that this was the way that mankind would receive redemption and forgiveness from sin. If they continue this ordinance throughout their generations, it would show they believed in God and pointed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 4, verses 2-7. No, Satan can't claim ye are the oldest religion. Do not believe that. He won't give his glory to any other. And Ezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubim, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it? For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. Beloved, I encourage you to read 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 15, Isaiah chapter 42 verse 8, Isaiah chapter 48 verse 11. Nobody, not even the most powerful or influential created being, deserves the credit for what only God has done. Not the act of creation, of the natural world, brute, beast, or man. No, not the planets, stars, or atmosphere. No one else gets credit for those act or creative wisdom and awe-inspiring power. The living God does not accept gods. 2 Kings verses, chapter 19, verses 17 through 19. He does not accept gods, idols or statues made by hand and carved into images to be worshipped, neither the gods of pleasure or the mind and intellect called science, philosophy, logic, or commerce are accepted by him. All these toys Satan offers to mankind to capture his heart and imagination. They are to lure him away from the true giver of life. And the final accountability of one's life and deeds. God's contempt for counterfeit deities. when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was falling on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hand were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. We are not to prefer these counterfeits above the living God because it is socially or politically correct. Neither are we to set them up before him as if these images made of all kinds of materials were to receive honor as if they were gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Will God's works get me to heaven? Most Christians profess that. Will good works get me to heaven? There is none good but one, that is God. Mark chapter 10, verse 18, B clause. Doing kind and charitable things is a great help to those who benefit from it. Even having a nice personality has its advantages. But beloved, we do not get into heaven by comparing our goodness to others. Our standard may be one's overall goodness, but God's standard is divine perfection. He knew no human could achieve that of themselves. That is why he points to Jesus Christ. The standard of life and devotion he lived before mankind is a life that God wants us to aspire to with his help. Thieves and robbers. People buy elaborate security systems, expensive locks, even hire security firms to protect their homes, business, and property from unlawful entry and theft. They want to make sure that there is only one way or at least limited entry into these areas. Thieves and robbers all look for the weak area, the open window, the rickety door, the old rusted lock, even a door one has forgotten to close or lock. All of this is to gain an unauthorized entry. We control access to an area to ensure that only those who are invited have access by coming through the door. Jesus Christ is the door to the Father. Jesus Christ is the door to God. John chapter 10, verse 9, and John 14, verse 6. People who attempt to get to heaven without going through the door are called thieves and robbers. They want the privileges of heaven, but try to find another way in, avoiding the door God said we are to enter through. John chapter 10, verse 1. Politically correct Christians. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 7 through 10. As stated before, now Christians are saying there are many ways to God. There is a tendency among nominal Christians to adopt ideas that make us seem of mainstream society. We feel we will be accepted if we adopt a more tolerant attitude. We don't want the world to be angry at us, because our God will judge all those good people who are religious but don't pray in Jesus' name or have differing belief systems. However, this makes us directly opposed to the nature and identity of the Savior whose name we bear. When Christians begin to receive false teachings, equating and giving them equal honor with Christ, it is called apostasy, a falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. This mindset open the way for ecumenical gatherings where the representatives of each religion prays to their deity of choice. Even as believers, we can choose another way, for when our ways are not His ways and our thoughts are not His thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9. It is because our reasoning is no longer based on His truth, the Word of God, the Bible. Beloved, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, also 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. A Christian who intends to remain in the family of God must repent for accepting this mindset. If kept, it will surely hinder and may eventually end one's relationship with God. That person will also be responsible for spreading false hope amongst suggestible Christians and non-Christians alike, who would rather believe that God is negotiable in whom you choose to believe in. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Apostasy means to turn away or fall away from the truth about the person and ministry of Jesus Christ. It is no longer believe in the exclusive identity of Jesus Christ. It is a tragedy when a Christian who should know the way points in the wrong direction. But what is exclusivity? One of the definitions of exclusive means to be restricted in use. This means that the restrictive object, position, or privilege is only available to one person, group, or company for their use. Access or use is denied to all others. For example, your fingerprints, are exclusive or restricted in use to only you. No one else on earth can have them, physically produce them, or use them, except the person who was born with them. They are exclusive in use to that sole individual. Even identical twins have different fingerprints. It is built into man's nature that he is exclusive in identity. Though he is part of a species of living beings, he yet has an identity that is separate and unique. There is nobody else like him. God the Father has an exclusive identity. There is no one like him. He knows this because he is omniscient. knowing everything. He has already searched for us because he is aware we cannot see that far. He told us throughout all creation and non-creation, he saw nobody else is equal. As such, he occupies an exclusive place as divine sovereignty. You can believe in his integrity because he cannot lie. What he says is always true because his word is his servant. It does what he tells it to do. Isaiah 48, verses 21 to 23. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Praise be to God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Beloved, in the divine and earthly registry, there are only three occupants. Father God, His Son the Word, and the Holy Spirit. There is no record of any other God listed. Why? Because all the other aspiring gods of this world systems are devils. And as you may remember, their leader Satan was cast out of heaven. No, not in heaven or in earth. Is there a record of any other God but the living God? Because he is in this exclusive group. He has the exclusive use of his name and his creation. No other being beside the Trinity may bear the name of God. Beloved, Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. That by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. What's so special about the name of Jesus Christ? Only his name makes a person right with God. When a person is saved, they receive a receipt of ownership placed in their heart called the Holy Spirit. This divine occupant reminds the individual of their rights and responsibility as a member of God's own family. as well as helping them to develop the family characteristics of purity and godly service. No matter how many names of deities the world claims to know or belief systems that reportedly leads to heaven, God is not fooled. God can never be fooled. And God is not a fool. He can see into our spirit to see if the receipt that says we were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ is there. Beloved, I encourage you. Put yourself in the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. For ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. The Holy Spirit does not occupy our residence that God does not own. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. Ultimate sacrifice would not have been necessary had there been another way to God. The crucifixion of the Son of God is such a supreme act of love, mercy, and generosity that the very extravagance that sacrifice would seem criminal if there had been another way, as many would like to believe. Beloved, as we conclude this lesson tonight, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. For believers and non-believers, I remind you once again that there is only one way. In God's sight, there are not many ways. There is only His way. Beloved, you have a choice. Jesus Christ or Satan's way. I ask you again, is it Jesus Christ or is it the devil? Satan's way, which eventually leads to death. Which way will you choose? Beloved, as we conclude this lesson tonight, I pray that it is a blessing to you. Are there many ways, or only one way to God? If you would like more information on tonight's lesson, or you would like to request free copies of previous lessons, please write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Helmand, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. The Word of God is mighty and powerful, and is well able to profoundly influence your lives. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you enter into an eternal and unbreakable covenant with God. At this time, all of His promises are available to you if you choose them by faith. Beloved, once again, we would like to thank you for tuning into this lesson tonight, and we encourage you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like free copies of these lessons, you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com. God's love towards us is patient and kind. His love for us bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. His love will never fail. His love for us is so rich that he gave his only begotten Son. Because of this, we will never perish, but we will have everlasting life with him. As a result of God's love for us, we have an unbreakable eternal covenant with him. Through this covenant of love, he has put his laws within our hearts and has written his commandments upon our minds. We have been invited to the Lord's banqueting table, and his banner over us is love. His love is better than the choice of wines, or the choicest wines. Through his intimate love, he draws and invites us to follow after him. We are fair and pleasant unto him. We are rooted and grounded in his love, and are well able to comprehend with all believers what is the width and length and the depth and height of his unfailing love. We have been called to know this rich love that surpasses knowledge, so that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. We truly are the object of his deepest love and affection. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the full fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with you all. May the Lord richly bless you and your dear families as we continue on this spiritual journey with him. I am your host, Reverend Donald Davis, thanking you for tuning in and reminding you to join us every Sunday and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless you and good night. We appear to be having some technical difficulties at this time, so while we are waiting to be reconnected, I would just like to share with you a few words of encouragement. I am a child of God. God is spiritually my Father. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. I am an heir with the Father and a joint heir with Christ. I am reconciled to God, and I'm an ambassador of reconciliation for Him. I am a saint. I am God's workmanship created in Christ for good works. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a member of Christ's body. I am united to the Lord, and I'm in one spirit with Him. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a friend of Jesus Christ. I am a slave of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am enslaved to God. I am chosen and ordained by God to bear fruit. I am a prisoner of Christ. I am righteous and holy. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I am part of the true vine. I am filled with the divine nature of Christ and escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. I am an expression of the life of Christ. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. I am a child of the light. I am a partaker of heavenly calling. I am more than conqueror through Christ. I am a partaker with Christ and share His life. I am one of God's living stones, being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I am the devil's enemy. I am born again by the Spirit of God. I am an alien and a stranger to this world. I am a child of God who always triumphs in Christ and releases His fragrance in every place. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. I am saved by grace. I am a recipient of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am part of the bride of Christ, and am making myself ready for Him. I am a true worshiper who worships the Father in spirit and in truth. God bless you once again, and have a good night. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis.